Hello and welcome back to Let's Grow Girls, the Cut Flower podcast.
Welcome back, flower lovers. This week we are joined by Linda and Marlies of Fam Flower Farm. If you're long-term listeners, you'll know that Linda and Marlies were our very first guests and we're in the 8th season now. So we thought it was about time we had you ladies back. Very excited to have you. Welcome to the podcast again.
Hello.
Before we get started talking all things bulbs, we thought it'd be good to just give the listeners a little recap about both of you and how you got into this crazy world of growing flowers.
Yes, it's all from our husbands, because we both married a grower a long time ago. I married Hubert and he's the dahlia grower, and Linda, she married Henk and he's the grower of daffodils and tulips.
That sounds like a match made in heaven between the husbands, never mind the wives.
The perfect pair.
Were you always in the business from day one, or did you come to it later?
Now, for a long time I was working in the building constructions. I worked at the farm, but not as much because I had my own job and I had a family, you have children, and we were very busy always. But a few years ago, Linda, we are friends since middle school, so we were 12 years old, we were friends already. A few years ago, we were talking about the business of both men, and we talked about the beauty of the farm, and they never showed anything about it. It was all about a new tractor and a new machine. So we said we must share more of the farm and the beauty of the fields, and go to consumers as well, because it's always on the farm, it's all about business to business, and we wanted to start selling to the consumers as well.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I was lucky enough to come and visit the fields myself last month, that actually the direct to consumer business is only such a small part of your business. Actually, the wholesale side of it is the huge part.
Yes, it is. That's what the guys have been doing the whole life. So only business to business, but it's like an industrial product, you know. The bulbs go in a big crate, go in a truck to a wholesaler or a farmer somewhere in the world. You never know where it ends up, or you never hear anything back. We said, okay, the product is so beautiful, let's show it and tell the story of the farm and show the seasons and the work. And yeah, we started to post on Instagram, and yeah, within a few months we were building a whole flower community of people anywhere in the world who just love to see all the process and the flowers and the beauties.
People went a bit wild for it, didn't they?
Yes. And it's so funny because there are so many farms in the Netherlands, but nobody is doing actively showing his own product to the consumer.
I don't know why, because it's gone. I think your accounts, you do it so well, how you show like the whole end-to-end piece of it. You know, I love seeing you ladies there packing away your bulbs, but then you're at the field as well. And you made it more of a family business now, right? With your daughter, Linda.
Everyone is involved now.
I've seen your daughter in the fields modelling those tulips.
Modelling, but also packing and stickering and everything that can be done.
Got to earn their pocket money.
Yes.
Not just the glamorous jobs then, I like that.
But also Marlies, her parents work a lot, help us a lot with packing and, and the storage.
It's a proper family business. The tulip mania is real. Honestly, that trip to the field, I could not believe it. Sarah, if you'd seen it, I wish I'd recorded it, because Linda very kindly let me in the field outside of normal visiting times. And she had to sneak us in whilst there was like all of these people standing on the road trying to get in. And they were just so, I couldn't believe it. Some of them were so rude, they just open the gate and let themselves in. And it's like a gate with a no entry sign on it. Like, it's not like some quaint little garden gate, it's a massive farm gate. And then people were just
wandering in.
They were mad. And you have to be really careful driving down those roads where the fields are, because the people are all just lining up on the road with their bicycles, taking 1,000 pictures.
Got tulips on the brain.
Yeah. I think we helped a little bit creating that, because everybody wants to have the picture in the field like we make every day.
But yeah, you've finished now the tulips, haven't you? You've had all your visitors are done now for the season.
Yeah, all the tulips are chopped off. Maybe you've seen the last
post. I did.
Chopping machine did his work, and everything is gone again.
Yeah, because I remember when we were at the field, I told my husband, you know, a couple of weeks and these things are going to be beheaded. And he was like, I've seen the video, I've seen them do it. But I actually found it so fascinating, that visit, because I think I'm a bit of a geek about all the sort of mechanics behind it, like the bits around how you water the fields. When we got there, Sarah, Tom was like, look at this little like canal thing that's running us alongside the field. What do you think, they have trouble flooding? And then Linda explained to us how it's like a
irrigation. Yeah,
it's, yeah, I couldn't believe it. It's amazing.
And that's also fun when we have the visitors on the field, we have time to share the story and to explain why the bulbs are in the Netherlands so famous, but also how we grow it and how we do with the water and how we are busy with the soil crop rotation and all those things. It's so fun to have the people right in front of you and being able to explain that.
But you can only explain it to them if they come when you ask them to, and not if they break in and enter. And then they get no story.
No story.
They're on
their own. Short story.
And they don't get the street waffles either. You only get the street waffles if Linda and Marley's let you in.
I love a street waffle. Jealous.
But yeah.
That's a good segue though, talking of the machine that drops off the head, because we wanted to ask you a bit about, so for the people who are listening whose tulips are still out, what can people do then to prepare them and make sure they come back next year? Do you have any tips?
Yeah, well, the important thing is, because normally tulips fade away over time, so they will only bloom abundantly the first year and they will fade away in the years after. But if you want them to come back, it's best to also remove the flower heads when they're bloomed out. So I think everywhere almost there will be blooms out. So make sure you remove the flower heads, only the top, and that prevents that they are going to make seed pots. Mm. So otherwise the plant will give all the energy to creating the seed pots, and it costs a lot of energy going to that, and we want the energy to go to the bulbs so that your bulb will grow and multiply in the soil.
Mm. And would you give them a feed as well?
No, it's not really necessary, no.
Oh, great. One less thing to do.
You said that some of them just don't come back. Are there some varieties that are more likely to come back than other ones, or is it a bit hit and miss?
Yeah, it's a bit hit and miss, because some varieties are a bit easier, but it also depends on where you live and your soil and the circumstances. So we don't really dare to say this one will come back so many years. It's a bit wild guessing.
But saying that, the bulbs that you grow, I struggle to get my head around, like, do they come back every year? What do you do with them? So you, once you've chopped the heads off, you let them die back and then you take the bulbs out of the ground, and then do they come back next year?
Yeah, I can explain the process. So when we chop off the flower heads, we leave them in the ground for the rest of the end of June, beginning of July, and then all the plants are, the leaves are fade away, brown and dead and yellow, and just a big messy field with dead plants. And then you can check if the bulbs are ready to be harvested, and then the harvesting machine comes, all the bulbs go into big crates, and we bring the crates to our shed. There we start the cleaning process. So we are cleaning the bulbs, removing the old skins and separating them from each other. So you have the bigger and the smaller bulbs that are stick together, and we remove them from each other, and then sorting them by size. So every size goes together. So we have very small bulbs. That is our planting material for next year.
Little baby bulbs.
Yes, the little baby bulbs, the small sizes. We always keep them, and the middle and big sizes are the ones that we can sell. So they go to the wholesale or to other growers or export companies and to our webshop, of course. And the smaller bulbs, we keep them in stock, and they will be planted in the fields again in October, November. And that's always important when you grow bulbs. You can sell a part, but you always have to keep a part, because otherwise nothing's left of your variety. So and then the whole system starts over again.
Out of pure nosiness, so when the customer gets their bulbs, how old are they then? Are they two years old or a year old?
It depends a bit on the variety, how fast it grows.
Okay.
But normally 1 or 2 years. Yeah,
that makes sense.
So they go from a small baby bulb to a medium or big size bulb. Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. I always wondered what you do with those little bulbs, because I'm just
bulbettes.
I normally just put them on the compost. Maybe I need to try and plant those ones.
Yeah, we also grow the flowers in the greenhouse, and those flowers are really cut off from the bottom, so the bulbs are empty and there's no plant left. So those bulbs we planted back on the fields, and the first year they're just growing, but they don't flower or flower a little bit, some small flowers. The next year you can use them again, so they need 1 year to recover, and then the next year they can grow to a big bulb again.
Well, and that's why most growers dispose of their bulbs, because they'd have to wait a year for them to sort of gather their energy back, and that's not sustainable for most farmers. So that's why most people do the dreaded pull and compost.
Yeah, for the flower farmers it's quite a job to plant them all back and harvest them again. So it's easier to buy new ones.
The most abuse I've ever had on Instagram is people watching you cut those bulbs off and chuck them in the compost. People are not happy about that, but what you have to do, isn't it, if you want to get the longest stems.
That's the job.
So obviously they're all finished blooming now. We can try and keep some bulbs for next year, but I think half fun is buying all of the new ones, right?
Yes.
That's the exciting bit. I'm getting myself ready for this year's, well, getting my credit card ready for this year's purchases. So, and that's a really exciting bit, actually. I was going to mention this at the end of the episode, but good news for us here in the UK, right? Finally, since Brexit, we can order from you, lovely ladies.
Yeah, we're back.
Woo!
Woohoo! Amazing.
So when is the bulb shop opening?
We start the 1st of July.
Very exciting.
Oh, in the UK already, eh?
Oh, the UK already?
Yes.
Well, but you haven't got all your varieties on yet, though, have you?
No, we will add some more. So don't spend all your money yet.
I've been keeping my eyes peeled for Double Marit. I fell in love with her. And
yeah, we will edit for sure.
So, does that mean if you're open for UK now, I could sneak in a little last Dahlia order?
Yes, you still can. No, in the UK not. No, sorry.
Oh, okay. Dahlias are done. Okay,
it was too short, only 2-3 weeks for the UK.
So I'll just focus on the spring bulbs for now.
Yes, and the 1st of January, the Dahlia webshop will open again. Okay. And then we have over 120 varieties.
Be there.
Yep.
And I'm nosy. If you're shipping to the UK again, does that include Northern Ireland?
Yes.
Woohoo! Sarah, you're in luck.
I'm in.
Sarah has a lot of trouble with the people that say they send to the UK.
But they don't send to Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I think the postal package will take some more days, but it will arrive, yes.
That's fine by me. I'm very patient.
Well, I mean, you say that, but the bulbs arrive in plenty of time, don't they, before planting is required. When do you usually start dispatching?
We only dispatch as of October, because we always think it's too early to plant them in September.
And
people do that, and it's really not good. Because there's still a lot of fungus active in the soil, and you plant them, it's too warm. So they need a little bit colder soil to start creating the roots. So we say, let's just ship them in October. It's early enough. You can even plant them in November, in December. And if you have forgotten about it, you can even plant them in January. But never do it too early.
Oh, too late is better than too early.
Yes.
I have to admit that I planted some of mine this year in the first week of February.
Yes, and
what
happened?
Grew.
Yes, they
grew.
They just grow.
I forgot about them. I found a box and I was like, oh my God, what do I do with them? I even planted some daffodils in the last week of January. And I thought, better in the ground than in the box, right?
Yep. Yeah, never leave them in the box, because then you can throw them away. Always plant them and you will see. You will be lucky.
Especially with the daffodils, right? Because they will come back next year.
Yeah. Yeah, they're so thankful. So easy to grow. We think the daffodils need more like starlight, spotlight.
Oh, yes. I agree. I was disappointed that I missed daffodil season when I came to visit. But I grew lots of different daffodils this year. But do you know, the one I always grow is Bridal Crown. Because your ladies told me last time how much you loved it.
And they smell so good.
I remember you telling me, Marlies, last time that how much you loved the smell. And I thought, okay, I need those. So I always grow that one. But this year I grew a different one that smelt very unusual. I wasn't so keen on it, called Silver Chimes.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to recommend it to you. It had a very unusual smell.
Oh.
But I'll stick to my Bridal Crown, I think.
Yeah, Bridal Crown.
I grew Bridal Crown indoors, like an indoors bulb, and it did really well, actually.
Yeah, it's really nice. Even if you have them in the garden and you cut off two flowers, you put them in a small vase, your whole house is like sweet perfume.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing them. So when the bulb come in October, it might be a bit early for some people if it's still warm, you know, if we had a warm autumn. What do you suggest we do with the bulbs when they arrive all nicely packaged? You have the best packaging, by the way.
Thank you. I'll just leave them in the box, open the box and put it on a dry spot. Make sure it's not too humid but for the rest, just dry place, not on the heat.
not on the radiator, yeah.
No.
And then we can just keep them there ready and waiting for planting time.
Yeah, don't forget them.
Don't forget them. Yeah, that's not
like Nicole did.
And you said we can start planting them anytime. Do you recommend it to be a certain temperature outside?
Well, I think at least below 15, but better around 10.
Okay. I usually find myself planting them, well, this year was late, but normally like the week after Christmas when I'm off work and it's cold. But then at least you know the soil is cold, right?
Yeah.
And it's not too... I'm always worried about planting them too early because, you know, you mentioned the bacteria and things that are in the soil. What can happen if you plant them too early?
Their roots might get, how do you say it, hurt by the fungus and the bacteria, and that's the starting point of the whole bulb, so they can be a little bit more, you know, open to diseases or will not grow so well.
Can it cause the tulip fire if you plant them too early?
No, that's more if you have like the fire, like all the spickles.
Yeah,
the,
when it goes all speckly and it looks...
It's often because they're growing on the same spot year after year. So, and we call it fire. The growers call it fire because it spreads like a fire through your garden. So one plant can infect another plant in your garden as well. So the best is if you really, if it's a big problem in your garden, you better to remove the tulip bulbs there. And then turn the soil for 30-40 centimeters or plant them on another spot in the garden. So they have a fresh soil again. Because this is the reason why we do the crop rotation at the farm. So we only go back to the same field with tulip bulbs after 4 or 5 years. It's a little bit the same in your garden. If they're always on the same spot, the soil is getting poorer and then the fire exists.
And then I'm selfish, so I've just moved into a house with a little terraced garden and I don't have any ground space for tulips, so all of mine in pots. Are there any key differences to growing them in pots compared to in the ground?
No, it's more or less the same. It's harder to keep them over. Probably you get rid of them every year or not. Do you keep them?
I tried to keep... I have some... Oh, Nicole, what were they? Were they British Gamble?
They were daffodils, yeah.
Yeah, but the daffodils that I was in love with, and I tried to keep them, but I needed to get them out of the pot to put something for the summer in, and they've gone. See, like Nicole, I'm just going to buy it all fresh every year. What a shame.
No, and if you plant them in pots, you can plant them a little bit closer together. Then in your garden you can spread them a little bit more around, but for the rest it's the same.
Though next year what I'm plotting to do is have maybe like a decorative outer pot and then the plastic inner, and then hoik them out and store them somewhere, and then put a nice summer plant in, and then I'll just keep swapping them.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's going to be a military operation, I think. I can't, because I had one very like apricot-y tulip this year that I don't know the variety. I've had it for ages and I had to pull them out and I was really sad. So I think that's going to be my plan now.
Yeah.
Do a little switcheroo.
Try to come back, yeah.
Yeah.
I grew lots of nice varieties this year, but I always like to try different ones next year. There's some that maybe will come back, but I like to try the different ones. So that's why I don't mind swapping them over. That's fine by me.
You're a good example, I think.
There's so many new ones coming every year,
yeah,
isn't there?
You have to try them all.
Exactly. Like, I know I mentioned her already, but when I saw that double marrot at the field, I was like, that, I have to have her. And she's new this year, isn't she?
On the wish list. Yes, it is.
But I love that, what you said about like the dedication that goes into growing a new tulip variety. It's not just, you know, you wake up one day and create a new tulip. It's a lengthy process, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes about 20 years to grow a new variety. So you need a lot of patience, yes. And it's hard to be on top of the trends because...
Yeah, when you're planning 20 years in advance. Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting when a new one comes though, right?
Yeah, it really is. We have some really nice ones upcoming. And also still, there was one, I'm not sure if I showed it to you. It was the Charlize, the white one with the pink stripe around.
Oh yes, that one was just coming, yeah.
And we hoped to launch it this year, but yeah, it needs to be organized and registered and the process is not done yet. So we have to wait another year.
Oh, is that one that you've bred or your husband's bred?
Yes, yes. And everybody is already asking for 3 years for it and still we cannot deliver.
Oh goodness.
Yes.
It's a high demand one.
Yeah, sometimes a bit frustrating, but it will come.
So this year when I planted mine, I actually, because I planted a lot of mine to grow for cut flowers, what I did was I grew them in crates instead. And I know, I mean, that worked really well for me because it meant that I didn't have to use up the bed space and I don't have a lot of space for kind of of the crop rotations, that worked really well for me. But in terms of the crop rotation, that has got to be important, hasn't it? Because of the disease and that kind of thing. You can't keep on...
Yeah, if you start with fresh potting soil, it's the best, you know, then it's everything is clean and then you're sure they will grow.
Well, that's another reason the pots are a good idea, Sarah.
Yeah.
You're going to protect yourself from the diseases.
Yeah.
And is it the same for daffodils? Can daffodils get any diseases?
Well, no, I think it's less trouble there because they can stay in the same soil for years.
Because they just multiply, don't
they?
Yeah,
they multiply. Sometimes some varieties naturalize, so they grow bigger, even bigger. So new ones exist and you don't have to do anything. Don't have to cut off the flower head. Nothing, you just come back.
But you cut your flower heads off the daffodils, right?
No.
You leave them in the same field.
Yeah, in the old years we did it, well, lots of years ago, but now they have come back and they say let them fade away and then it's fine.
Oh, wow. And then do you dig them up later in the year then?
Yeah, it's the same with the tulips. We do it in August. We lift them from the soil and then the same process. And they are the first to go back in. So they are the latest. We harvest from the soil in August and they go back in October as the first. And normally the tulips go back in end of November, December.
You obviously, we were saying at the start of the call that you ladies have started making the flower farm into something a bit more than just a place that sells bulbs. You know, you've got the visits to the farm now. How has that gone this year? How many visitors have you had?
We did it for 3 days. Yeah, we have limited groups, so we organized only for 15 until 20 people in a group. So we can talk with everybody, and this is the way we like to do it, because otherwise, if we want, we can have buses with people, but we don't want it. We do only the things we want to do ourselves, and this is how we like to do it. So limited, small groups, and we can talk with all the people visiting us.
And everyone can have a go with the pink bicycle.
Yes, and we can make photos from the people who enter. So we can, if there is a couple, we can make a photo from the two of them, and we can talk with everybody. And we have a great days. It's for ourselves. It's our great days to be at the field with the visitors.
Yeah, we really meet people from all over the world. That's really fun. We have from the Maldives to South Africa to Canada to Sweden, every country. And they just find us through Instagram. How wonderful.
Instagram's a small world.
Yeah, it is. You can get in touch with anyone.
And everyone gets a waffle, most importantly. The dream.
Yeah, sometimes we have somebody who's for a request for a marriage.
Oh, like an engagement.
Yes.
Oh, if only I wasn't married already. Although Tom was very good when he came to the field, wasn't he? He was very patient with all the picture taking. He took lots of videos and pictures. He was very good. But that's so cool to see the engagements.
Yeah, we even had a tiny wedding.
You had a wedding?
Yeah, a tiny wedding.
Oh, that's so amazing. You had other big news as well this year, didn't you? Your first TV appearance.
Yes, we were on QVC UK.
Oh, wow.
And how did that go?
Yeah, it was nice. Michael Perry was there. Not sure if you know him.
Yes, we know
Mr. Plant Geek. I think he's famous in the UK as well. So he guided us through the program. So we asked all kinds of questions, and they were switching from studio to live to the field. So for them, it was also new because they've never done broadcasting from the field live. Mm-hmm. So and we just did it by our own. So Michael was there with his mobile phone, and Marlies and I with our mobile phones and earplugs in, and that's it. So it was a good
a good experience, something
good
experience. A bit different.
Yes.
And, I saw it, and unfortunately the weather wasn't too good, was it?
Well, the day before it was really bad. It was
really
freezing
cold.
Oh,
I saw you doing your rehearsals. Yes. You were all your hoods up and everything.
Yeah, we were with our winter coats on, and the next day was perfect with the blue sky. So.
Oh, yes. That's how the way around, I remember it.
Yeah, well, we had created some mixes, so three different tulip varieties together, and the one was sold out within the first hour, and the other ones later on.
I told you it would do well, didn't I? I told you it would do well. QVC people go wild for these things.
Yeah, we're not so familiar with this kind of selling, so for us it was really new and a really nice experience.
They get you really like excited about it, don't they, when they tell you?
Yeah, well, they want to come back now.
The phones are all engaged.
Yes, don't wait too long.
You can't help but get sucked into it when they're talking about it.
Yeah, so QVC was also enthusiastic, and they want to come again with dahlias and with the daffodils next year.
We were on QVC dahlias.
Oh, yes, yes. So you've done tulip bulbs on QVC. Will we be seeing you on there any time again soon? Maybe with dahlia bulbs next year?
Yes, I want to come back on the dahlia fields and maybe on the daffodil fields next year again.
Oh, wow. That'll be so much fun. I'm planning my trip to come to the dahlia fields. Yes. I'm still annoyed from COVID that I missed my visit when you had the book launch because I really wanted to come then.
Oh,
obviously,
yes.
When you released the book was that year, wasn't it? But
yeah.
With all the flights being cancelled, unfortunately I couldn't
make
it.
So if you can come over in September, we can create Nicole's cherry mix dahlias.
Ooh.
And we're going to sell it on our website.
I'm definitely there. As soon as I'm finished this, I'm going to book my flight.
You think I can fit in your suitcase? I think I can fit in your suitcase.
I think you can fit in. I think you could even fit into a seat, you know.
It's only
Amsterdam. We'll be... Oh, so I'm really looking forward to that visit. And the fields will be open for everybody else as well, won't they?
Yeah, I think around 12 or 13 September, Marlies. Yeah,
that period. Yes.
On the website, you can already book it.
Oh, we better get in there. Although I'm sure you can sneak me in again if.
We'll open the gate for you.
Open the gate. I won't climb over the gate. No. I definitely won't climb over the gate. Oh, so I think we're coming to the end of the episode now. Sarah, I think you have a special question for Linda and Marlies.
I don't know if we asked you this when you first came on season one. I don't know if we were asking this question then.
Maybe it was a later invention.
How exciting. But so we ask everyone who comes on the show, if you could give the people listening one piece of advice for the summer ahead, and it can be anything, it doesn't have to be tulip related, but if you could give them one piece of advice this summer, what would it be?
I think our best advice is to cut the flowers from the dahlias every time in short stems, because you can enjoy the flowers not only in your garden, but also at home at your table in small vases. And if you keep on cutting the flowers with small stems, they keep on growing. This is one of the best advices we can give to everybody.
It's just cut.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Because then the new buds will also start developing and they come back in a few days. It goes on and on and on.
I think they're one of the best. I mean, I know I'm biased because I love the dahlias, but you really do get a lot from one ugly root, don't you? You know, you've got the whole summer and early autumn to enjoy them.
Yes, as long as there's no frost, they go on flowering.
Do you echo that advice, Linda, or have you got something different?
For the dahlias?
No, for anything. Gardening,
for anything.
Tulips, dahlias.
Well, for if you want to pick new tulips and daffodils, always think about mixing tulips and daffodils, because we've seen it at our customers, because they show a lot of their gardens and see the results of what they have been planting, and we saw so much nice combinations, like pink with purple tulips, but also a bridal crown with marits mixed together, and all those kind of things. You know, you can never go wrong. So that's what I want to say. Just try something, mix it up, and see what happens.
Excellent advice from both of you. Thank you. So if the listeners want to find you, you've obviously got the website, so that's got lots of useful information on it as well, hasn't it? So not only can they buy the bulbs, but there's some information about growing on there and some other bits about the shop and the book. And you started selling seeds as well this year, which we haven't even spoken about. And the website, is it the same for every country?
Well, you can go now to the .co.uk, femflowerfarm.co.uk.
We can ship to all EU countries.
And what about America? Has that unfortunately stopped now?
Yes, at this moment we are so busy in Europe, and we hope we can start there again, but it's quite complicated and we hope we can do it in a few years.
They don't make it easy to export these places, do they? You think it's all, I don't know how you ladies navigate through all that paperwork. It sounds very confusing.
For that reason, I wish it was easier and we can share it with the whole world, but it's not. Yeah, it's complicated because of all the phytosanitary requirements from every country. It's different because every country has its own import rules, and it's quite complicated for us to organize this.
Well, selfishly, I'm happy you managed to fix it for the UK.
First things first.
Exactly. Obviously, you've got your Instagram as well, and you're not already following Fam Flower Farm on Instagram, then, well, I don't know where you've been, because that's where all the exciting stuff happens. I love that you show all the beauty, but then we get the behind the scenes on stories, and I'm always excited to see what's happening next at the farm. I definitely think you should do more behind the scenes, though.
Yeah, we have to show ourselves more often.
Exactly. Well, thank you both so much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to, like I said, giving my credit card a heart attack, but also coming out in September to see the dahlias. I'm really excited about that. So I think I'm gonna be in heaven when I arrive. I said to Tom, we're gonna get off plane, I'm gonna walk to the car hire, and then I'm coming straight to the field. I'm not hanging
Major
around
choice.
This time. I had to wait a whole day last time. It was like torture.
You have to stay longer.
Yeah, definitely.
Take your caravan on the field.
Oh, was that an invitation?
Oh, that would be a good Airbnb. I would stay yes. there. Imagine that, a little caravan in the dahlias.
Yes.
Oh. Well, if you see it, you know where the idea came from.
It's me. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for inviting us.
No, thank you. We'll speak to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
It's outro time.
Thank you so much for listening and for your support. We are loving this season so far.
And we hope you are too. If you love the episode as much as we love doing it, then we would be so grateful if you left us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can also subscribe, and you can find us on Instagram for more of our adventures at Let's Grow Girls Podcast.
We're really grateful having you here listening to all of our interviews with our amazing guests, and we hope that you carry on enjoying the rest of the season.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye. You sounded really far away when you said that. You sat back.
Yeah, because I didn't want to shout at our people, you know.